Design and Hardscapes as we continue in Maryville today. We're at the Easy Stop, Hershey's setting us up, Reese's Standard Candy Bars, Buy One, Get One, BOGO right here, Hershey's Kisses, Big Kisses While They Last right here. We have them for you. I have a few more to give out. A few more kisses from Josh than from Heather this afternoon. Plus, Coors Light Climb to the Championship sign-up. So, all right here for you. Stop by and see us.
Yeah, we're taking care of you from so many different facets. All you have to do is fill out a short registration form for the Climb to the Championship. We'll give you one of these 7 ounces of solid milk chocolate while supplies last, thanks to Hershey's. And we're just going to talk some more hoops and talk some more sports. It's been a fun sports week, I feel like, this week.
Yeah.
The Astros, I know we're, like, piling on. Made it good. I like a little drama with my sports. I'm not going to lie. It's all about entertainment.
Oh, sure. Sports. The soap opera is a huge part of it. For yeah. Why people enjoy it.
Yeah. I was listening to Steve Levy. He did a great interview with Ryan Russillo earlier this week. And he said, you know, the biggest shift we've seen in our business is people don't want to be inundated constantly with the X's and O's portion of sports. They like the entertainment. He said now, he goes, this is the easiest our jobs have ever been because you're just entertaining people. You're having fun. It's fun. You're hanging loose. It was really cool. It was a good interview.
Well, the Jimmys and Joes do matter more than the X's and O's, which are still important. And in conversation, it's more about the Jimmys and Joes as well. We're heading into the weekend where there is a lot going on in sports. You have week two of the XFL that's coming up. You have the Daytona 500 this week. College basketball, they only have a few weeks to go before it's tournament time, so
yep.
That's exciting. Also, there is that off-season talk. So with the NFL, which is always king, you have the Tom Brady speculation.
Oh, yeah.
You have Phillip Rivers. What happens there? You have a number of quarterbacks that are in play, and that position dominates conversation as much as any in sports. So that's part of what's going on out there. The speculation until we know what Tom Brady's going to do is going to lead the headlines of the NFL offseason.
And it should. It's not just one big Hulu commercial, right? I mean, he's seriously testing the waters out there. And I think he's having some big-time backdoor conversations with his agent about, okay, what would be a good landing spot? I mean, earlier this week on Colin Cowherd, Cowherd is saying and one of the best-connected sports writers in Boston, they're not predicting, they are just saying – they keep hearing that Brady is on his way out, that he truly is going to leave. I think that would be awesome for the NFL. I really do. I thought it was great when Peyton Manning left, and it was under different circumstances with him having the major injury and them drafting Andrew Luck, because that means you're going to be paying attention to New England, because can Bill Belichick do this without Brady?
Sure.
And, of course, you're going to be paying attention to the Oakland Raiders or somebody else, maybe even the Chargers, that they're sort of on your radar, but you don't focus on them. So I think you're creating two major focal points out of just the one that exists right now with the Patriots, how they are.
So where is your favorite? If we go to the Heather Harrington sports book for the updated odds for where Brady would go if he leaves New England, the favorite is?
Selfishly, I want him in Tennessee. So I don't think that that's the number one destination. So if he's not going to Nashville, I don't like the idea of him going to Indy. That feels dirty and gross. I don't like that. I would love him. I would love to see him in Vegas with the Raiders. I think that would be awesome. I say we talk to Jeff already about maybe doing Saturday Sports Talk 2.0 next year from Vegas when Brady's making his debut. I think that would be incredible. I mean,
yeah,
you tell me you wouldn't hop on an Allegiant flight?
Yeah, Allegiant, save me a seat.
Yeah. I just, him, Chucky, and I had my doubts. I mean, I was very critical of the deal that the Raiders gave to John Gruden. I was like, oh, this guy's been in the booth. He doesn't have it anymore. Like, come on. This is ridiculous. He still connects with players. He really does still connect with players. And, you know, this year was a little disappointing. I think you would. I figured they could get to a better win total than what they had. But
at one point, I think you guaranteed to me that they were going to get to 10. I said, let's take it easy.
I know, but there were like 4 winnable games out of the last 8, and it was like, come on, just get there. It's on the table. But with a quarterback like Brady, you could make a splash in a brand new stadium. I mean, think of the storylines. It
so
just
if,
makes sense.
If you're Brady, what are you doing?
I have no idea, because how much say-so does Giselle have? I don't know. You know, are there places that she is just not going to go? I don't know. It's hard to say. But you got to go somewhere that's got a strong offensive line and a good run game. And then some weapons. I mean, Manning wasn't going to go anywhere. He was like, man, I need to go somewhere with a really good defense. Bam. found a perfect landing spot.
Yeah, it worked out in Denver.
I don't think Brady has to do that. I don't think he needs just the best defense ever. He needs offensive weapons.
I'd say he probably wants that, considering how this past season went. So you would take Indy off the table because of the Peyton thing?
Yeah, I would. And I know that sounds dumb. But
he's been gone a while.
He totally has. It's just a weird situation.
You know, what's also funny with the idea of Indy is that's where Deflategate comes from, the Colts.
Oh, that's right, because that's one of the Colts players is the one that kept the ball after an interception, right, and went and turned it into the officials.
So you have they blew
out. So definitely scratch it off.
Okay. Yeah.
But what were you saying?
But you also have a good GM, and I think a good coach, and a roster that's pretty good.
Yep.
An offensive line that can protect you.
Favorites to win the division until Andrew Luck gets hurt can't make it back. They were the favorites all the way up to game one of the season.
Yeah, and Oliver Luck, I think talking to Dan Patrick, made it pretty clear that Andrew's not coming back right now, at least.
Yeah, so. He's done. Yeah. He's done. And, I mean, more power to him. He's made a ton of money. Like, I don't like when guys feel like they have to come back. Like, Andrew Luck's a really smart guy. He's going to be successful in whatever line of work. You know, football is just over. He needs to close that chapter and move on to the next chapter.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, if you don't want to play, then and you have the options that he does, go take those options on. Yeah. And maybe his mind changes sometime in the future. So did you give me an answer? So where would you go if you're Tom Brady?
I'm going to Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if I –
Vegas, baby.
I mean, I would love to see him in Dallas, obviously, but that's for sure not going to happen. But, yeah, so if – I still have my doubts on him going to the Titans, although the Vrabel thing just makes me think, like, oh, is there a chance? So that would be my number one, but I put that in the sort of unrealistic, selfish category. So my number two, it just makes so much sense to go to Las Vegas in a brand new stadium with Chucky.
Yeah, so you have the Brady watch. What does Drew Brees do? Does he retire now? It's not a free agency thing with him. Jameis, Andy Dalton is an option out there. There's even some Andy gets
for the XFL.
Yeah, well, that's a little harsh, if you ask
teasing,
me. But yeah, I mean,
got him to the playoffs.
Again, secondary option. There's even a little Matthew Stafford. What if chatter if the Lions look to deal him? If I were him, I would. I say if I were him, I know that he's been inundated there, but I would be trying to go somewhere that I can finish my career with a better chance to win. I don't see that. In Detroit.
No.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that there.
Detroit is, what was that thing about complaining about officials? Big honking losers. I mean, it just, that franchise, it's like they don't even want to win. I mean, you have Matthew Stafford, who I think has been way above average as a quarterback in the NFL. I think he's been really good. And Calvin Johnson, and you can't do anything. I got no time for Detroit.
I feel bad for Lions fans in that they're,
for sure,
their two biggest stars probably both decided, you know what, I'm going to get out early in Barry and Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, because so, they're not committed to winning.
Well, and also, it's just it hasn't gone right. And also, Stafford could be an example of you better be careful of giving too much money to a player because I think he's a really good player. But does that handicap what they're able to do, how much money he makes as well? We'll come
where
back.
Before we go,
yeah.
Where do you think Brady's going to go? You think he stays?
Well, I stick with him staying in Boston, but if he leaves, I won't be surprised at all. There's just been too much chatter about it.
Yeah,
the
from
middle
really
of the season,
connected people.
Chatter from Adam Schefter and Tennis were up there, and what Tom Curran has said. Yeah, I mean, it's real, the idea that I think he could leave the New England Patriots. I'm a little too biased because I would love to see him in Las Vegas.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And I think he should because the Patriots are still going to get their attention. Brady can go win a Super Bowl without Belichick. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just...
I don't know if he can, but it'd
I'd
be a
be
great
good
story.
On playing on in the same division as Pat Mahomes. I'd be out on that.
Yeah.
No thanks.
That's true. That's tough.
Yeah.
And y'all have, what, one of the top 10, or y'all are in the top 10% of toughest schedules for next season?
Bring it on. Nobody else has a commitment to excellence like the Las Vegas Raiders. We will come back here on Sports 180. We'll talk more NFL as well as XFL. The biggest thing from the opening weekend that seemed to excite fans that maybe the NFL can learn from. That's coming up next. Tom Hart of ESPN, one of the XFL broadcasters, on that next. We'll talk to Will Shelton, get some Tennessee football and hoops thoughts from him at 1:30. As we continue today at the Easy Stop in Maryville, out here thanks to Hershey's, we have free big kisses for you right here and Reese's Standard Candy Bars. Buy one, get one BOGO at the Easy Stop in Maryville on this Friday, Valentine's Day afternoon on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Little do we know the theme song for our friend Ron Slay. The Slay Ride, you can always check it out on the WNML app and online, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Joel Silverberg producing for us as always. We'll have a midday sports minute for you coming up as we continue in Maryville at the Easy Stop, thanks to Hershey's.
In all honesty, if Chris Harrison ever wants to give up Bachelor, Bachelorette, my number one candidate would be Ron Slay. Slide right on into that spot.
Your number one candidate would be Ron?
Oh, is that something you would like to do? Okay, well, Ron would be number two. Or maybe y'all could tag team it. Remember, Ryan Seacrest had a tag team partner for the very first season of American Idol. Didn't go so good for other Ryan.
9.5 months into the new edition of Sports 180, kind of ironic that we hit our rockiest road on Valentine's Day. Here we are, Hershey's Kisses. You can stop by, grab one free BOGO on Reese's Standard Candy Bars as well. Buy one, get one right here at the Easy Stop on East Hunt Road, 2028 East Hunt Road, the address where you can stop by and see us. A couple of shout-outs before we get to Tom Hart in just a moment.
We want to show some people some love today, right?
Yeah, locally,
it's Valentine's Day. McKaylee Martin out of Sweetwater High School. She's a senior. She scored her 1,000th point last night on senior night.
How
cool. Exciting.
Yeah.
I could have played basketball in high school for 6 years. Wouldn't have even come close to 500 points.
Yeah, well, my chucking could have given me a shot there. Also, thanks to Jason for the heads up. A shout out to the West Valley Middle School boys team with the win against Whittle Springs the other night in the sectionals, advancing to the state tournament this weekend. So good luck getting ready for a chance at a state championship.
Yeah, exciting. We're rooting for all of our local prospects around here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm rooting for the XFL to succeed. We'll see what happens long term. They're one weekend. There is a long way to go. I think everybody recognizes that. Week one was a success. Let's see what happens next. But this was interesting. Tom Hart talking about the thing that seemed to get the most positive review coming out of week one of the XFL. Tom Hart with ESPN on with us yesterday.
I guess the most positive reaction that I got from fans was appreciating the look in and listening in on the replay booth. We all know this, right, because of the SEC. But everybody thinks that when a call goes against their team, that it is some grand conspiracy theory. There's a tinfoil hat somewhere, whether that's in Birmingham or somewhere else, and a call's coming down saying, don't let this team win, or dictate that this team win. And what it does by listening into the replay booth is it shows that these guys are just trying to do their job. It's just the practicality of it all. It's black and white. There's very little nuance or discussion. It's just catch, no catch, yard line clock. Let's get this right and let's figure it out. And I think we had Troy Aikman on the air on Sunday, and he was really excited about that aspect of it. He said the NFL should adopt that immediately. I think they probably will pretty soon. Just like the SEC opening a Twitter account for the officials. I don't know if that went over like they had it planned, but everybody wants to be more transparent when it comes to officiating. I think it probably comes to the NFL sooner than it comes to the SEC because our friend Greg Sankey, you know, he wants that one singular message to be coming from his office, not the seven crew chiefs or the seven replay officials throughout the league on any given Saturday. But I'm sure it's something that they're going to give a long, hard look to.
Tom Hart of ESPN, Scott Van Pelt the other day on ESPN with his one big thing, asked the question, why not open up the replay booth for fans to see in and see what's going on to be more transparent? And it still doesn't mean they're going to get it right every time, and that ultimately is what they're trying to do, and that's the goal, but at least to see why. I mean, you know where I am with the conspiracy theories when it comes to officiating, especially replay booth officials who are watching after the fact trying to determine what happened.
Yeah.
Often fans sitting at home disagree with what the replay shows, so I don't think it's as easy as we make it out to be a lot of the time, but the conspiracies that they're trying to do something for one side or the other – that can be eliminated if you were just watching it and you're seeing and hearing them go through what they're watching to make the decision.
You know the best thing that we've had come along in the last 10 years, and this probably goes all the way throughout history, is the fact that somebody can invent something or invent a new concept and somebody else bigger and better is going to steal that and make it part of theirs. Why wouldn't the NFL take a cue from the XFL and do, let's go to central office. Let's put a camera in our central replay so that people see the different angles that they're looking at. That's always been the biggest question I've had. What are they actually looking at? How many different angles do they have? Do they see what I'm seeing on my big 60-inch television in slow motion? I think that would be awesome for the game. I would love to see it infiltrate down to college football. I think that would be really cool. But definitely at the NFL, I think they would do themselves a lot of favors, especially what's been the biggest criticism they've had over the last 5 years.
What is a catch?
Yeah, and just what, just their officiating in general. So if you get a little peek behind the curtain, I feel like that solves some problems.
Because there shouldn't be anything to hide. It's a replay, so we're all watching the play, maybe from different angles, but that would come back to what you said, is we can see what they see.
Yeah.
But
I'd be all in on that.
Yeah, it would be a look at them determining what we're seeing, what it actually is. Because, you know, like with targeting so many times you're watching the replay and people are honestly guessing because they don't – all of us really struggle, I think, to really determine watching a replay, does this fit the rule or not, the criteria or not. And if we can hear them walk through the rules, knowing them as well or better than anybody, it opens things up and it eliminates a lot of the – conversations. Now, you know, for Sports Talk Radio, fills some time, doesn't it? But I would prefer to fill the time with knowing exactly what they said, what they saw, and how they came to the conclusion. We'll come back and talk a little Tennessee basketball as the Vols get ready for, is it a must-win game at South Carolina tomorrow? We'll ask Will Shelton about that. Also, the coaching moves this week with Jeremy Pruitt's football staff. We'll talk to Will Shelton of Game Day on Rocky Top about it coming up next with 90 minutes of Sports 180 to go, celebrating Valentine's Day. Thanks to Hershey's at the Easy Stop on East Hunt Road in Maryville. Stop by, get a free big Hershey's kiss from us. This is Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues. We enter the second half of the show. Sports Talk at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Hope you're having a great Friday, sunny Friday, which I think we all welcome. A little cooler, but sunshine helps. And Hershey's can help your Valentine's weekend. They have buy one, get one free Reese's Standard candy bars right here at the Easy Stop. We're in Maryville. 2028 East Hunt Road is where you can find us. Next to Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. And we are pleased to welcome to the show Will Shelton, Game Day on RockyTop.com. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. Will, we appreciate the time as always. There's still several games to go, but is Tennessee in must-win territory going to South Carolina tomorrow?
Not yet. So I think all the history suggests that they've got to get to 19-15 at worst since they expanded to 68 in 2011. No team has earned an at-large bid with fewer than 19 wins and more than 15 losses. So 19-15 is kind of the bottom line. That means Tennessee, realistically, they got to end this regular season at 18-13. And then get a win in the SEC tournament to at least get there. And that means they're going to have to win a game on the road. So it doesn't have to be tomorrow. I think tomorrow, if you look at a lot of advanced metrics, tomorrow is the easiest one to get. But, man, they just look so good against Arkansas. They're such a good matchup against those guys. Arkansas is a little wobbly now all of a sudden, and you're going out there in a couple of weeks. So I can buy an argument that if you lose tomorrow – but you're going to go win at Fayetteville and then just win the home games. If they beat Vanderbilt, Florida, and Auburn at home and get one of these on the road, that'd get them to 18. So it doesn't have to be tomorrow. The one that's must win is Vanderbilt on Tuesday. They absolutely cannot lose to Vanderbilt the way they lost to Texas A&M. If they don't get this one, they're just going to have to find it on the road somewhere else. It's just another opportunity to get what would be win 15 when you're really – you just got to get to 18 – 18 with some help in the SEC tournament. 19, you'd feel good, I think, about that with strength of schedule and all that. So we're not at must win yet, at least tomorrow, but they're going to have to beat somebody on the road, I think, to be in this conversation at the end.
Will, I'm wondering, and you touched on this just a second ago, but my pendulum of emotion swung pretty far to the positive after that Arkansas win, and you look at it, I really don't know what to make of Arkansas. I feel like Tennessee just went out, took care of business now. Was I wrong to get so positive on the Vols and put so much stock into them after that Arkansas win?
Well, I think Arkansas is the one team, and it's weird to say this with Tennessee because they have so many moving pieces this year, but Arkansas is just – Tennessee is bad news for Arkansas. Arkansas is undersized. It doesn't create any size problems for Fulkerson and Pons and all that stuff. Arkansas's entire defense, what's been good to them all year, is built around making teams take bad three-point shots. And Tennessee's best basketball is not in taking a bunch of threes. It's going inside and hammering and getting to the free throw line. And they really did all of that against Arkansas. Now, I'm sure when they run it back that Mason Jones isn't going to go 1 of 10. I'm sure he's not going to come off the bench the second time. That certainly didn't work for whatever Eric Musselman was trying to do there. So I don't think Tennessee's going to blow him out the second time. But I just think we've seen Tennessee all year go against teams with a lot of size, teams with multiple good post players like Mississippi State and Kentucky that have really given them trouble. And just for this particular Tennessee team, this particular Arkansas team is really great. You'd love to run into them in the SEC tournament again if you could. So I think Tennessee overall, though, I thought they played well against Kentucky. You know, that shot that Jordan Bowden had with 2.5 minutes to go, you want him to shoot that shot every time. If he hits that three, they've cut it to 2 with 2.5 minutes to go. I thought they played well in that game. They just didn't hit some open shots. And obviously they played well at Alabama before that. So I think overall they're putting some nice things together. Vescovi certainly getting a lot better over the course of one season or half of a season than some of us, I think, thought he would get this year. And, yeah, Arkansas, I think, is always going to make Tennessee look good the way they're currently constructed. So the optimism to me is less about how good they looked in the one particular game and just more about they've been solid. Even in losing to Kentucky, I think Tennessee has been solid. They've done what they wanted to do. And if they hit some open shots, same as going back to the Memphis game, you hate it to be this way against two of your biggest rivals, but you put yourself in good position. They just didn't knock down some shots that I think any other night more of those are going to go down for Tennessee.
We're talking to Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. Will, do you think Tennessee's fan base has gotten more used to the coaching changes that are just going to happen more often now in college football? We saw it again this week with Tennessee staff.
I think you have to. You know, one thing for us as Tennessee fans is keeping the coordinators here, that's new territory at this point in time. We've had a coordinator change or a head coach change. You know, how I guess Butch's first 2 years is how far we have to go back to having – the same coach, the same offensive and defensive coordinator 2 years in a row. I think that's right. So, yeah, just having position coaches, even though it's heavy to the defensive side of the ball, I think keeping Niedermeyer and you know, there's enough continuity with guys that got promoted within the staff that I think it doesn't make you too concerned. And Pruitt and Derek Ansley, I think, have proven they know what they're doing. So, again, I think Pruitt, and we've talked about this before, one of the ways you trust Pruitt the most is with getting the right assistant coaches, getting a guy like Jim Chaney, being able to even come in with Tyson Helton. I mean, that was a good hire on paper in terms of who he's able to get to come here, but then also recognizing when something may not be working the way you thought it would or something that's just kind of maybe not a good fit, Pruitt has been quick to make those adjustments where they needed to be made. So, yeah, I think the assistant stuff, again, as you said, it's not just Tennessee. It's just kind of everybody in college football. If you keep the pieces, you keep the head coach, the coordinators, the strength coach, the athletic director, you keep all that stuff together, you know, this is still by far got to be the quietest offseason for Tennessee football coaching changes than we've seen, again, going all the way back to Butch Jones' first 2 years.
Hey, Will, I think I agree with you there. I think it's just kind of the nature of the beast at this point in time. The only move that I wasn't 100% sold on was not trying to hold on to Tracy Rocker, and I understand the recruiting limitations that maybe keeping him on the staff that would have. What did you think of that move? Because his on-the-field coaching was absolutely excellent. The moving away from him to go for a more aggressive recruiter, what's your analysis there?
Yeah, I think you're right, Heather. I think we have to put a pin in the sense of you can't just automatically say, all right, we got a younger, better recruiter. Things are automatically going to get better. What Tennessee did up front defensively, you know, doing it without Emmett Gooden, doing it with not being sure when you were going to get Aubrey Solomon in the mix there, and really getting, I think, a lot more out of a lot of different guys. It wasn't that they had one superstar, but he really got a bunch of different guys to play better and to up their game, to develop and make progress. And that really helped Tennessee. And so if we don't see that progress coming forward, that's going to be a big problem for Tennessee's defense. They can be as good as they want to be in the secondary, and they've got, you know, I think they've got a star in To'o To'o and hopefully some other guys there as well. But for anybody in the SEC, if you can't get pressure on the quarterback at times with just your defensive line, it doesn't matter how well you've recruited anywhere else. So, I think that's one we have to – it's not fair or honest, really, to say, oh, yeah, this is an absolute upgrade for Tennessee just because of assumptions we make about recruiting. He did a great job up front, and that's something, you know, maybe we'll see Pruitt be a little more hands-on with those guys on the defensive line and have a little more trust with Ansley and some other guys on the back end of things. Because, again, Tennessee is going to need that, and I don't know – we'll see about incoming freshmen, but even with Emmett Gooden coming back, I don't know that there is a superstar among those defensive linemen where you're still going to need development. You're still going to need a lot of different guys to give you a lot of different things this fall.
Hey, Will, what's going on at GameDayOnRockyTop.com?
Lots of fun just looking into this South Carolina matchup. Again, Tennessee still in the bracket conversation. We looked deep at Vescovi's. You know, the last time they played South Carolina, Vescovi had 7 turnovers in 22 minutes. That's impressive almost that it was that ridiculous and crazy. But now, 4 games in a row here, he's had 3 turnovers or less in 30-plus minutes of playing. So Carolina's hot. They're the best defense in the SEC. That's going to be a challenge for a Tennessee offense that has kind of struggled all year. But Bowden went 1 of 17 in that first game. That's going to be different. Fulkerson much more confident. It's going to be really interesting tomorrow. So we just kind of looked at all of that matchup stuff. Looked at some of the net ratings in that piece as well. Tennessee's 63rd in net right now. Net's only been around for a year. We don't have enough data to really say, well, if they get to this number for sure, they'll get in. But they're at least within the margin. So, again, they just need wins. A couple pieces on our site today looking at how they can go about doing that against South Carolina. Joel Hollingsworth as well wrote a piece just kind of on how we do the advanced stats, 4 factors, basketball previews that he writes for every game. That's up on our site right now as well.
GameDayOnRockyTop.com is the website. Will, before you go, put you on the spot. Go-to rom-com. Do you have one? As today is Valentine's Day. Favorite rom-com?
Oh, that's a good question. I've been married for too long now, I feel like, to have a good answer to that. My wife and I really enjoyed, we loved About Time.
Yeah, it's a very good one. Out, yeah.
Yeah, that was a pre-child universe for us. So we really... I feel like everyone with little kids, their answer is always going to be Before That First Child Was Born. So, we were big. That's probably our latest one that both of us really loved.
Yeah, all 3 of us are in the same position, married, very young kids at home. Like, what is the go-to Valentine's at this point?
It's a good question. You want to you want to get the gift-giving right, I would say, because trying to create time and babysitting and all that stuff, that is a definite challenge for sure. My wife is pregnant at the moment with our second child, so we've got a lot of different plates trying to spin, or I should say, she's spinning a lot of different plates with me right now. So yeah, you want to lean heavy into getting the gift right because the time is much more difficult to come by.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. I don't think I knew that. So congrats to you, Will, and your wife on that news. So happy Valentine's to you and your family. Have fun. We appreciate the time as always, and we will check in with you again next week.
All right, appreciate it, y'all. Thank you.
Will Shelton, GameDayOnRockyTop.com.
Yeah, nice little bun in the oven. That's exciting for Will. And then this About Time. I've
good.
Never heard of it. What?
Yeah.
Who's in that?
You have Rachel McCarthy.
Okay.
The guy, honestly, I don't know his name. I could pull up. You'd recognize him. He's been in a bunch of movies.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. He's that
good.
Guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's see.
The Saul Rubinek Award. It's a steal from the rewatchables.
Yeah, so About Time I would recommend. I've seen it like 1.5 times.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, with the immense streaming capabilities that we have, I'm going to immediately go and maybe I could try and download it. We could watch it on the iPad later.
And Rachel McAdams, I said McCarthy. Rachel McAdams.
I knew who you were talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah. Internet's not working. Now I'm living Heather's world. All right, we'll come back.
See? It's a tough place to operate in.
Domhnall Gleeson. Yeah, I didn't know his name anymore.
Yeah, me neither. I'm going to have to Google this. Watching the trailer now.
Margot Robbie in as well. Oh, I forgot about that.
I am loving her. She is just the bee's knees right now.
Yep. Yeah, she's doing all right for herself. Yeah. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We will come back. Hershey's making it happen for us to be out here today. Reese's Standard Candy Bars. Buy one, get one right here where we are. 2028 East Hunt Road, where you can find us today in Maryville. Stop by. We'll be here until 3 o'clock celebrating Valentine's Day on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Final segment to hour number two of Sports 180. We're with you until 3 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out. What do we have? Some Valentine's Day puns from the University of Tennessee?
We have them, I am loving them. I am about to share it to our Facebook page and social media. The Vols Valentine's. Happy Valentine's Day. I guess it's actually tomorrow as they'll be back in action. But Trey Smith and his cowboy getup, you're the yee to my haw.
All right.
Jawan, you're Jawan for me.
Oh, get it?
You're Jawan for me. Yeah. The one. Yeah. I want to kick it with you.
Oh, Samaglia?
Yeah. Automaglia.
Sure.
Yeah. And then Alante's. I don't want to be Alante this Valentine's Day. I guess like alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Sure.
You're the warrior of my heart. Love it.
Ah, Nigel.
Uh-huh. And then Toa Toa, I love you Toa Toa much.
Okay.
But it looks like too much.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. You know, Henry should sell those. Oh, wait. Run into a problem there. No, those are well done. You know where I love every bit of you. Batuli.
I didn't get that one. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Daniel Batuli, who's on Sports 180 yesterday. Check out the interview on the WNML app. Him and Daryl Taylor both. All the interviews you can find in the podcast section of the app and on the website.
That's a good opportunity because they both came on, and we appreciate him and Daryl Taylor so much for taking time. The busy schedule right now, and they broke down what their schedules actually look like, getting ready for the combine for Taylor and Batuli just getting ready for the draft and the upcoming pro day.
Yeah, they'll be at Eddie's Sports Treasures on Broadway on Sunday signing autographs for fans.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. So, everybody get out there, show your love to these awesome balls. Ask Taylor about that Mac Jones call because Josh got a great reaction. You might get an even better one because he'll be off the air.
Yes, absolutely. It could take it up a notch even more so. But good point. If I wanted to put him on the ground, probably would have had some dirt in that face mask when he came back up. So enjoyed talking to both Daryl and Daniel yesterday on the show. So a little Valentine's Day love from University of Tennessee.
Yeah, I love this. So the creative minds, the collective that's over there lately in the social media department for all athletics is just second to none. I miss Maddie Glab. I know that when you're working for VFL Films, you're usually doing it as a grad assistant, so eventually you're going to move on. And she's doing a great job in Buffalo. I still follow her on Instagram. But I miss the Turn Me Up Tuesdays.
Not doing that anymore?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so unless I've just been under a rock, I've missed it. And I think that was kind of her brainchild, something that she had sort of headlined and championed. And so I definitely miss my basketball Vols on Insta.
Yeah, they're very creative, no doubt about it. As good of a creative team as you're going to find in college athletics.
I know. Don't you feel like... I think both of us, you obviously do a killer job on social media, and I try to just keep up with the Joneses, but the kids that are coming out of college now, they are so much better prepared for this crazy world that we're living in than what we were. Because we were on the precipice of Facebook blowing up. Like, when I graduated college, Facebook, you still had to have a university email address to be able to have an account, so we didn't know what all was coming. And now I feel like, gosh, we just behind the eight ball.
You on TikTok yet?
I am not, but I saw a great Astros video on TikTok.
There you go. You got that as well. So, yeah, fun times. We're all losing our minds collectively at different paces.
And we're all watching in real time, so that's always fun, too.
Yeah, that we are. Running out of time here this hour. Have we missed a rom-com in the conversation, what did you say was your best or one you'd go to on Valentine's?
My favorite of all time was When Harry Met Sally. But now that my time is so limited in what I can enjoy, I really can't be mad at all the delays that we had coming back from Denver. I got to watch three movies.
That sounds good.
I mean, that was just incredible. So I think my go-to, and I keep it on the DVR.
Did you watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood twice?
I did.
That's wild.
It was so good.
It's a 2-hour, 40-minute movie.
Oh, it's incredible. I love it. And not many Quentin Tarantino movies you can watch over and over and over. Like, you know, usually you see it one time and you're like, oh, that was a great movie. Can't really watch it again. Pulp Fiction, there's a couple of scenes in there that I'm not extremely fond of, especially as I get older. But Once Upon a Time, It's awesome.
Yeah. It's quite a rom-com, too.
Yeah, but mine is You've Got Mail.
Okay, that's a good
one.
You've Got Mail. Would you go 10 Things I Hate About You or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
That, I think, was one of the crowning jewels of Kate Hudson's career. She looked incredible. Her personality was just, like, beaming through the screen.
Yeah.
And I love Kate Hudson. I follow her on Instagram. Matthew McConaughey, I ebb and flow with him. Sometimes he gets a little too overproduced, like this last Lincoln commercial where he's ice fishing. I mean, come on. It's just a little too much. But Kate, she's awesome.
Mm. After this conversation, I'm going to come back with 10 Things I Hate About Myself. We have another hour of Sports 180 to go. We are here thanks to Hershey's Buy One, Get One BOGO on Reese's Standard Candy Bars at the Easy Stop where we are in Maryville, 2028 East Hunt Road, where you can find us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg getting you ready for the weekend coming up with another hour of Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.